the key for our sufferings. Invoke baby Jesus. Now, that's not all. When she gives us the baby to put at the first place, she knows that nowadays, and especially among the young people, there is more suffering than in all the previous ages of the world. If we see, for example, the number of suicides, the number of means that we have to self-destroy ourselves, how do you say that? Of the means of self-destruction, you know? It's incredible, as never before. And this is why she says, Satan is strong as never before today, dear children. Resist him. And now she's giving the key. She knows also that because there is so much darkness in the world today going on, as never before, because so many ways of putting ourselves in the hands of Satan are offered and promoted through the media to the young people and to anybody, that many people are suffering and deeply suffering from their connection, their addiction with Satan somehow, without being aware of what they've done. You know, spiritism, divination, Satanism is spreading in incredible waves all over the world now, as never before. And the result of this is a deep bondages that people get from that. They are stuck in despair, in anxiety, in sadness, in darkness. You know, some people told me, and even old people told me, Sister, I never experienced once in my life the joy to live, the taste of life. I don't know what it is. And when you speak to them, you find out that somehow, more or less, they had been into the darkness in, through actions that belongs to the darkness and that are prohibited in the Bible by God, that God himself calls an abomination. And abominations are committed very, very casually in all the universities of the world, in all the colleges of the world, in many families, in the street. You stop to the gas station just to fill up your tank, and you are caught by a fortune teller. You are caught by, you know, all these things around. It has become casual. But this is spreading incredible darkness in the hearts. And then you find people unable to love, unable to forgive, unable to feel the joy of life, unable to work, unable to do this, like zombie, you know. We are generating zombies today by their thousands. So Our Lady knows that. And she also knows that there are very, very few priests able to help those people deeply bounded by Satan and by the darkness. She knows that proper exorcists are missing. We lack good exorcists today. And so many people are just left alone with their bondages, with their suffering, without any help even from their parish, you know. So as a mother, she reacts to that in a very powerful way, and she gives us baby Jesus to be put at the first place. Now why? Because He's carrying on his shoulder the sign of the dominion, of the power. He, this little tiny one, is already the winner over evil. He's already the victorious Jesus through his love, through his innocence. Now, let's make a flashback to Bethlehem again, to the crib. Now, who do we have there? We have baby Jesus, love made flesh, okay? Pure love, divine love. Now we have the Mother of God, Immaculate Conception, filled with love, with divine love. And we have this great Saint Joseph that we also love so much, with this tender man who is so in love with both of them. So there was such an intensity of love there in the stable that Satan could not get in. Too much love. And love for him is like a burning suffering. He cannot stand love. So when he sees divine love in a heart, it just runs away, because he cannot stand that pain that is generated by love to him. You know, he's the anti-love by excellence, you know. So he cannot stand there in the stable. And when Our Lady gives us baby Jesus to put at the first place, she wants our homes to be like that, to be like in the crib, in the stable, that place of intense love being shared with the members of the family. And this is a protection. When we have baby Jesus, we have our protector. We have our guard, our safety, our security. The enemy may knock at the door. He'll stay away from our home because we have baby Jesus in. And the more we relate to him, the more we take care of him, the more we love him, the more we deal with him, the more the enemy is out. You see, it depends on us. Isn't it great? This is the answer, but this is the key against evil. You know, this is the key against evil. And again, I want to tell you, use that key for God's sake. Use that key for others. If you see among your fellow young people here in the university that somebody is in a bad state, bounded by evil somehow, tell him the good news. Invoke baby Jesus to deliver you from that. He will. That's the key Our Lady is handling to us. Baby Jesus at the first place. Now, that's not all. There is more. When we have a baby, we know that a baby, any human baby, needs to be cuddled, needs to be touched, needs to hear the voice of his dear ones, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, one day, some doctors made a sort of test. They took some abandoned baby in a hospital. Nobody was caring for them. And they wanted to see how they would react if they are not touched after their birth. So they put them in a place and they would feed them artificially with little pipes, you know, and they were never touched by human hands. And they were also deprived of hearing any sound. No human voice around, no noise at all, complete silence. No touching, no sound, no voice. And do you know how they reacted? After a few days, they all died. They did not die of starvation. They had everything they needed. But there was no signs of love whatsoever. And they died of despair. Now, this is very significant. Because many babies, of course, they are touched and they are hearing sounds. But if the loving touching is missing, and if the voices are not loving ones, the little one is deeply wounded. And he's wounded in his very intimate identity. Even a baby in the womb, just after his conception, is fully present with his conscience of love. When he's a tiny, tiny, tiny little baby this much, this doesn't mean that his conscience is tiny the same way. Because his conscience, his love, is already completely present there. Which means, if the mother, when she finds out that she's pregnant, she thinks, oh, that's too bad, I'm pregnant, what shall I do with this baby? What a burden, what a catastrophe, you know, rejection. The little one, who is hardly a few days old, picks up the mentality, the spirit of the mother, the feeling of rejection, and he's deeply wounded. And he will carry that wound all his life, through his life of an adult, unless something happens, of course, and we'll see how. And not only that, because he was rejected, he picks up that his life has no value at all, because he's meant to be thrown in a garbage bag in the trash can. His life is not worth. He's important for no one. So when he's a teenager, if he survives that, when he's a teenager, when he's a young adult, he'll keep that feeling that his life is zero. And he'll be very quick to go on to drugs, to alcohol, to wrong behaviors. and to just waste his life because he knows deep in him, he has a conscience that his life is nothing. So you see the importance of restoring the value of the price of life. And when Our Lady says to us, put baby Jesus at the first place, because he's carrying that power, he has the power to heal us from the wounds we are carrying today that we call the wounds of life, that are the deepest wounds we can have and carry. If I have my arm cut in an accident, it's just an arm. It's very serious, okay. It's very bad, okay. But I can survive with one arm, you know. If an eye is missing, if a leg is missing, if a kidney is missing, it's okay. It's my body. But if I've been rejected when I was in the womb, it touches my identity, my deep conscience of myself. And it touches also my relationship with God, my Creator. And I need to be restored. I need to be healed. And again, here, because these are wounds of life, it's baby Jesus taking over for us and healing, giving these deep healings.